And I'm Mary Angish, along with Charlie Nardozzi in the studio. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Charlie, you have one of my favorite topics to talk about, and that's growing the best types of shrubs and trees for birds who are either going to overwinter or who've got to head out and migrate.
Yes.
Tell us more about what are some of the best food sources for both of those types of birds.
Yes. So berries certainly are a good food source for both types of those birds. But I just want to throw a little shout out to actually the seed heads, too, that this time of year, your echinacea is going by. And the Rebecca, I was just watching a small flock of finches this morning just feasting on our echinacea. And they're just all Twitter-pated and they're all excited about it. So it's good, of course, to leave a lot of those seed heads in your garden well into the fall, not just now in September, but into November, because they can be a food source for our birds. But another main source is the one you're talking about, the berries. And when you're thinking about berries for birds, there's lots of different options out there. So there are native berries that grow all over the place, like the gray dogwoods, for example. A lot of people are planting aronia and elderberries and some of the viburnums, like the American cranberry bush. All great ones to have in a landscape. But then there are the exotic or the invasive species berries, the buckthorns, the Japanese barberry, the Japanese honeysuckles. Those have berries. The birds definitely eat them.
Right.
And actually, the caloric content between the native shrubs and the exotic ones is about the same.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference, though, from studies in Maine and New York is the fat content. So the fat content on the native shrubs can be up to 48%, whereas on the exotic invasive shrubs, it's only about 2%.
Okay.
So if you're a bird trying to fatten up for a long flight or fatten up for the cold winter in Vermont, you want to eat some of those native berries.
Right.
So the best thing to do, of course, is to go through and remove some of those exotic shrubs as much as you can. I say this knowing full well that we have plenty of them in our landscape, and I haven't removed them yet. So think about that when you're thinking about the birds. Leave some seed heads and leave some of those native berries and plant some extras.
Excellent. All right. We have questions for you, Charlie. The first one comes in from Kathy. Kathy says, during pandemic lockdown, I was finding things to do around the yard, discovered tons of overgrowth and a beautiful rock ledge in the backyard. It's taken years to get the buckthorn out, remove dead trees, but it's becoming this stunning oasis. Now, Kathy writes, it's cleared, the soil's free from all the weeds, but to my surprise, I have been finding beautiful succulents growing. What can I do to promote further growth and the health?
Yeah, that's very exciting. So if you have some succulents, things like sedums, for example, that are in those rock ledges, and you want to promote those to get more of those, you certainly can plant more. And you want to get the creeping sedums, of course. There's red-leafed ones and red-flowered ones and yellow-flowered ones, for example. And you'll see in those rock crevices, that's probably where they're growing.
Mm.
So the key with any of these succulents is that they want really well-drained soil. So if you bring in soil to plant some of them in those crevices, make sure it's a very sandy, light mixture with some gravel in it. So it drains really quickly, because these succulents have succulent leaves.
Right.
They don't need a lot of water. So you can buy some and pop those into the cracks and crevices, or crevasses, as they say, around on your rock wall or your rock ledge that's there. The other thing you can do if you don't want to buy so many is you can propagate them. So in the spring, you can take cuttings from the existing sedums there, dip the cut end in rooting hormone powder, put them in some pots, and you'll see that they root pretty quickly, and then you can move those out. And that's nice because you're getting the exact variety of the ones that really are thriving there, and not bringing in some ones that may not like the conditions as well.
Right. Another question from Suzanne. Suzanne writes, I have three large 20-year-old lilac bushes. I noticed last year they didn't have as many blooms as usual. This year, even less, and all their leaves have been turning rust-colored over the past few months. They look like they're all dying. What can I do to help them?
Yes. So this is the weekly lilac questions that we've been getting. And I'll quickly go through the rains in June in July caused a lot of disease. The drought in August caused a lot of those leaves to shrivel up. So that's why your leaves are dropping early and they look pretty bad. The reason they're not flowering, though, it could be if they're 20 years old, they might need a nice rejuvenation pruning. So I would go in this winter and take out some of the oldest canes, oldest stems that are there, the ones that obviously are not growing as well, and just cut them right down to the ground and just let some new ones start growing up there. So it may take a couple years of transition to do that. But after a couple years, you'll get newer canes. It'll have healthier flowers and hopefully more flowers for you in the future.
Here's to the lilacs. Send questions to gardening@vermontpublic.org. That's it for this episode, but you can check out lots of other episodes and find us in your favorite podcast feed. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.